Our sermon today is based on a reading from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5 and 14 through 16. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Thank you, God, for placing your hand of grace upon us all. Last week, we began a sermon series on different parts of God of which we are a part. Last week, it was God's face. Although we acknowledge that God doesn't really have a face, we are really talking about God's holy presence among us. Today, we're going to put our hand in God's hand. Here's an interesting fact I discovered as I was doing my sermon prep. The word hand in Hebrew is yad. The first syllable of God's name, Yahweh, is Yod. So now we are looking at the Yod of Yod. Throughout the Bible, the word hand is equivalent to power. For instance, over and over, whenever the Israelites recalled or were reminded of their deliverance from bondage in Egypt, they heard and echoed the phrase, "By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery." When the Egyptian army perished in the Red Sea, Moses and the people sang, "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy." The hand of God does wonderful and mighty things. Again, we are giving God physical human characteristics because that is what we understand. Imagining God with hands and feet and fingers and ears helps us get a glimpse and a grasp of the unknown and the unknowable. It's comforting to imagine God is like us in some ways, or that we are like God in some ways. While God utilized a strong hand to save and secure God's chosen people, God's hand also came down in wrath on Israel's enemies and persecutors. The hand of God was heavy on the Philistines, Israel's longtime foes, helping to destroy and disseminate them. And yet, there are plenty of examples of how God's hand gave people needed strength. In 1 Kings 18:45 through 46, we read, "The heavens grew black with clouds and wind. There was a heavy rain. Evil King Ahab rode off and went to the city of Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was Elijah, the prophet. He girded up his loins and ran in front of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The hand of the Lord came on Elijah's protege, Elisha, and caused him to prophesy." Sometimes, as punishment for disobedience, God transferred the people from God's own gentle, good hands into the hands of their enemies, where they found anything but security and solace. When King David sinned by taking a census, the prophet Gad gave him his choice of punishment, and David chose to fall into the hands of the Lord. "For his mercy is very great," David said, "but let me not fall into human hands." He knew that in the hands, the closed fists of his enemies, he would suffer unduly and indignantly. But in the Lord's open hands, he would receive mercy and forgiveness. Even though he knew he had sinned, David also knew God would take care of him and not destroy him, but people would. So even as it was a general symbol of might and sometimes wrath, God's hand was also a symbol of security and solace. Ezra received courage from God's hand as he began the work of rebuilding Jerusalem's wall, even as his enemies plotted to thwart him. Ezra said, "I took courage, for the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. The hand of our God was upon us, and God delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambushes along the way." We find a wealth of assurances of God's power in, where else? The Psalms, because we are kept in the palms of God's hand, and palms is an anagram of the word psalm. Psalm 37:24 says, though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul clings to you, God, your right hand upholds me. Psalm 118:16 says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And it was a verse from a psalm that Jesus turned to for comfort and strength as he endured the crucifixion. On the cross, as his life was ebbing, Jesus spoke the words we heard from Psalm 31, into your hands, O God, I commit my spirit. Jesus put his own self and his own soul into God's hand at that moment of his death. Where else could his spirit go? It was quite proper that it should return to the God who had sent him. What better place to place his spirit? Jesus knew it would be safe in God's gentle hand, safe until the moment it was time to return his spirit to his body and bring him back in glorious resurrection. Jesus may well have remembered another line from that same psalm, my times are in your hands, O God, nobody else's. God had determined and decreed the time for Jesus to go to the cross, and God had also determined and decreed the time for him to rise from the dead. Jesus was in total sync with God. He affirmed, I laid down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Jesus' enemies thought they had him right where they wanted him, right in their hands, in their power. But he was never in their hands, in their power. He was always in God's hands, in God's power. At first he cried, God, why have you forsaken me? Then he realized God had never left and would never leave him. And so with utmost trust, he handed over his spirit into God's hands, into God's safekeeping. These are wonderful, endearing, trustful words. Into thy hands, God, I commit my spirit. But they don't need to be saved for the moment of death. This should be an affirmation of life, our living motto, a motivating mantra, not a death cry, not something we affirm only once in our lives, but something we say every day. Every day we should repeat these words of the Savior and direct them with confidence and reverence to God. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Today, God, I will do what you want me to do, through your power and your mercy. In everything I do this day, God, I will strive to make sure I honor and glorify you. I will remember your love and your mercy. I will call on your power and your wisdom. I will follow wherever you lead me by the hand. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, into God's care and custody. We should daily acknowledge that our times, the courses of our lives, are in God's hands, every moment from birth to death. This means our destiny, our future, all the affairs and events of our lives are in God's hands. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Commit is a big word. It means you don't do things half-heartedly. You don't commit half your spirit or a quarter of your spirit into God's hands, God's keeping. You give it all, every last bit of it, holding nothing back, trusting that whatever happens to you, God will be there to give you the love and the support and strength and solace you seek. Psalm 22:8 says, commit your cause to the Lord. Let God deliver. Let God rescue the one in whom God delights. It should delight you to place your spirit into God's hands, knowing it will be well cared for, knowing you can be sure it will guide you right to where you need to go, right to where God wants you to be, guided and strengthened by God's hands. How are our hands like God's hands? Like God's hands, ours reach out for the lost and lonely. They hold out healing and hope. They are ever gentle, never harsh or hard. They don't morph into fists. They remain open and accessible. They offer comfort and solace, sometimes in a physical form, a cup of water for a thirsty soul, bread for an empty stomach, a warm coat or blanket for someone who shivers. God's hands are found in those who build habitat homes for needy people. God's hands are found in nurses who administer tender, loving care to patients. God's hands are found in parents who cradle and feed their children and let them hold onto their fingers as they learn to walk. God's hands are found when we reach out with sympathy and empathy to someone who's facing a hard time. Yes, our times are in God's hands, and sometimes we are the ones who must offer our hands to pull someone else up or pull them through. Another Bible verse tells us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I'd amend that just a little bit to say, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with God's might. Our hands must embody the paradox of the yad of yod, strong yet gentle, firm yet flexible, always open, always loving, always ready with a strengthening, encouraging, healing touch. The biggest difference is that it is only in God's hand that a spirit can rest in peace and warmth. When we commit our spirits to God, we trust God now, and we trust God for the life to come. We commit our spirits to God just as Jesus did, knowing no one can snatch us out of God's hand. God's hands also connote security, strength, and dependability. So we can say with complete confidence, God, I am handing over to you the care and control of everything that happens to me from this moment on. I am entrusting myself entirely to you. I am pledging myself to you. My times, O God, are in your hands. Absolutely, God's hands are a source of an unimaginable power, but God's hands are also a place of protection and providence. God holds us there like we might cup in our hands a fragile baby bird that has fallen out of its nest, enfolding it so gently and so lovingly, so protectingly, patting it soothingly, saying, there, there I have you, I hold you, I will give you peace and rest and comfort. So God holds us, and so God whispers to us, the fledglings fallen from God's nest. And at the right time, after we have been rescued and redeemed, God gives us the wings to fly to God in heaven, where our spirits will rest forever in God's keeping. What better place to place our spirits? Let us pray. We make it our daily prayer, God, to commit our spirits, ourselves, our souls, our future, our lives, into your gentle, loving, protective hands. Hold us close to your heart and let your benevolent presence shine upon us now and evermore. Indeed, God, with you, we are in good hands. Amen.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning's so bright and the lamb is light and the night is black as the sea, oh yeah. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. Trouble I see, there will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle and the wolves will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb, oh yes. And the beast from the wild shall be led by a child. And I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yes, there'll be peace in the valley for me someday. There'll be peace in the valley for me, Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble, I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. There'll be peace in the valley for me.